Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to our St. Andrew's podcast. We're so glad that you have joined us for this special episode as we continue in a series that we have been doing called Who Am I? We're figuring out our identity in Christ, and it's been fun to walk this journey with you and with my co-host and my friend, the pastor of Disaster.
Oh, yeah.
I know, got to bring
that
one out.
That's old school right there.
I know, right? I know, but it's a good one. So, Mr. D.A., how are you?
I am doing well, Stephanie. It is 2020 is an interesting year already.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like if you read through social media, everybody's like, yeah, 2020 is going to be a better year. And some people that's working, some people that's not.
Right.
So I hope wherever people are listening today, they're in a good place.
I
and they're
hope
like,
so too.
I need some refreshment for my soul. I need
yes.
some spiritual food. And my hope is what we do today helps feed them.
Me too. I am excited about that. And if you've been with us the past couple of weeks, you know that we've been talking about our motto here at St. Andrew's. And it's a very special phrase that really is packed full with a whole lot of meaning. It's like when you go to the buffet and you...
I'm kind of a buffet guy.
I'm a buffet girl.
I think in King James, the Apostle Paul wrote, I buffet my body daily. Other people say buffet, but...
It's really all in how you look at it. I like it. But it's like when you go to the buffet and you have the salad bar option,
mm-hmm.
but you skip that and you go right to the steak and potatoes.
As well you should.
I agree with you. And that's what this podcast is like.
Awesome. And as they continue to digest this,
yes.
They will want dessert. They'll come back for more.
I guess they will. I like where you're running with this analogy. That's really good. So I want to remind y'all what we talked about as our motto. And so I'm just going to say it for you. And we've been actually talking about this in worship on Sunday mornings, which has been really fun as well.
Fun.
I know, it really has been fun. So the motto is, I am a minister called by God, gifted by the Holy Spirit, ordained through baptism. I'm emphasizing that one today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a minister and I offer my gifts in service to Christ. And so we've been kind of picking apart this motto. And the first week we talked about what it means to be a minister and what it means to be called by God and digging a little deeper into that. And then last week we talked about what it means to be gifted by the Holy Spirit and how to identify those gifts and why that's important and why God does that for us.
And I can tell you that's been a helpful conversation for me with some other groups I've been in. People have said, you know, how do people understand the difference between gifts or talents or spiritual gifts? So even the last podcast we did, it's like, hey, I'm prepped for this. We just,
yes.
In fact, in one meeting I was in and somebody said, I just don't get it. I said, you know, there was a wonderful podcast we just recorded about that. And
there
like,
you go.
Yeah, we should probably subscribe to your podcast.
Yes, you should. That's exactly right. You want to get those little notifications that tell you that we have posted again every Friday. So, all right. So today we're going to be talking about the phrase in this motto, what it means to be ordained through baptism. And you know, I love talking about baptism.
I love talking about baptism.
Yeah. It's one of the coolest things that God has given to us because it's such a visual and such an experiential reminder of
right.
what God does for us and how much he loves us. And I was thinking about one of my favorite parts of the gospel is when we read about Jesus being baptized by John the mm-hmm. baptizer. And I feel like we really see God connecting with Jesus in a powerful way as his son.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, too, is the way that God connects with us through baptism. And I think that's really special. But I know that baptism can be kind of a mystery
right.
to people. You know, it's like, what is really happening? Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? Why is it important? And there's a lot of different schools of opinion, a lot of different opinions within different denominations about baptism. So since you are the expert.
Oh, goodness.
I know, right? It's true. You are. So tell us what the Methodist view of holy baptism.
One of the things I hope all our listeners understand is, as United Methodists, we never try to force our doctrine down people's throats.
Right.
And we understand that baptism, it's a sacred thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but one of the highest privileges in ministry is baptizing
Absolutely.
People. There's just
it's
nothing
so
like
wonderful.
It. And in you know, over 2,000 years of church history, Christians do not believe the same thing mm-hmm. about baptism. Mm-hmm. And so any of you listeners, if you don't agree with this, please know that that doesn't offend us.
Right.
You know, we there probably are other things that we may not see the same way about. Mm-hmm. But there is a reason that we believe mm-hmm. what we believe. So
yeah.
When I try to explain this to people, one of the things I tell them is typically among churches, there are two differing views, two competing visions
right.
about what baptism is. One view is that baptism is something that we do for God.
Mm.
That if I give my life to Christ, mm-hmm. then the next thing I need to do is be baptized. And I really think that comes a little bit from the Gospel of Matthew.
Uh-huh.
You know, go and make disciples, teach them to observe them, baptize them.
Yes.
And in the early church, we really see that emphasis mm-hmm. that if people wanted to identify their lives with Jesus, they were baptized.
They were baptized, yeah.
But the other side of that argument, and this is really where the United Methodist Church falls in, is that baptism is not something we do to identify ourselves with God.
Uh-huh.
Baptism is something we do that helps others to see that God has called us into relationship.
Yes, right.
And so we would say baptism is not a work we do. Baptism is a sign of the work that God has done.
Yes.
And so if this is about what God has done, the question then is, well, who's eligible for baptism?
Oh, right.
And the reality is, if someone has grown up and they really didn't grow up in the church, they didn't mm-hmm. have that foundation in their home or through their experiences, and as an adult they come to faith in Christ, absolutely, they should be baptized.
Yes.
As a way of identifying themselves as a Christian, but mm-hmm. also to acknowledge that God has claimed me as his own.
Yeah.
But again, our understanding, since we see this as a work of God,
mm-hmm.
we believe that babies,
yeah.
infants, are eligible for baptism.
Right.
And so one of the questions people have.
I don't know. Ooh, technical.
People, I hope no English teachers are listening today. Particularly my senior English teacher, because she was from a different Christian tradition and she would disagree with what I'm about to say. But when we read the Old Testament, one of mm-hmm. the earliest stories we read is the story of God calling Abram, who's later called Abraham.
Yes.
And God makes this covenant
mm-hmm.
with Abraham. And he says, so here's the sign of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all males must be circumcised.
Right.
And even Jesus, when he was 8 days old,
yeah.
Mary and Joseph take him to the temple to be circumcised mm-hmm. in accordance with the Jewish law.
Yeah.
And so in Judaism, circumcision is the sign
mm-hmm.
of the covenant.
Right.
So when we look at this and we see that Jesus was baptized, we believe that baptism is a sign of a covenant relationship.
Yes.
And that is okay for babies too.
Right.
Hebrews were baptized on 8 days. Most parents usually wait a little longer than that. It's mm-hmm. not a law that we
yeah.
have to keep. But we see baptism as a sign of the covenant,
yeah.
That God has claimed me as God's own.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the foundation of what we believe in terms of, is this a work that we do for God, or is this a work
yeah.
of what God has done for us?
Yeah.
Now, because of that, there's even more that we get to
yes.
Think about. And that is, in our tradition, a lot of babies are baptized.
Yeah.
And hopefully most of them grow up in the church,
right.
that they go through our experience of confirmation where they understand, my parents said this is how I was going to be raised,
right.
but baptism did not bring me the gift of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It promises me salvation, but it didn't
right.
give it to me.
Right.
And so this is a gift I have to claim and receive by myself.
Right.
And in confirmation, which is, again, just one of the greatest things we do,
yes.
to really work with students and say, some of you may have made this decision, but
mm-hmm.
but if you haven't, it's time for you to choose if you're now going to live in this covenant relationship
yep.
that God has offered us.
Yeah.
And so if they were baptized as an infant, we don't rebaptize them.
Right.
And if they go through confirmation, they go through their teen years, young adult, and they really don't have anything to do in the church, but then somehow the Holy Spirit is working in their hearts and they come back and they want to reclaim their faith, their thought is, I want to be rebaptized. And I fully understand that. It is an experience that we latch on to.
You know, we
can look back over our life and there are different, you know, experiences we have that are like mile markers on a hallway. I remember where I was when I did this. And so if someone really faith comes alive, we can understand you want baptism as your mile marker. But since we understand this as a sign of God's faithfulness, we don't rebaptize because I may not have lived faithfully in that covenant relationship, but God always was. And so since we see this as a sign of the covenant relationship God offers with us, then we don't rebaptize. But here, let me throw this one back because there's more I could say, but I'm talking way too much. But one of the questions people might have is, well, if I was going to get baptized in a Methodist church, what does that look like? How do I get baptized? Do you want to tackle that one?
I would love that. Well, in, just as any good pastor's kid, as I am, would believe that there are three things that we could do.
Three ways.
Three ways to be baptized. In the Methodist church, we believe that we can be immersed, which is like the dunking, going the fully under.
Washing all your sin away.
We want to be really clean. We also believe that you can be, you can experience pouring, which is where we pour the water over the head of the person being baptized, or sprinkling. Now, sprinkling, normally, in most Methodist churches, sprinkling requires just a little bit of water.
Just fingertips a little, full of water.
Sprinkle like little bitty raindrops, unless you are an attender at St. Andrews. And if you want to be sprinkled at St. Andrews, it's more like a May thunderstorm monsoon in Oklahoma. And you will experience large raindrops.
I mean, when we baptize babies, we don't drown them. But I always tell... you know, teenagers, preteens, adults. I want this to be an unforgettable experience.
I love it.
And nothing quite says I'll always remember this is really getting doused with a couple of handfuls of water.
It's fun, though. It is. It's glorious. And my first couple of experiences getting to baptize people alongside you has been really fun because there is something really special about the water dripping down somebody's head. I mean, it just is really powerful. The idea of cleansing and claiming is just pretty cool.
And one of the things that we also do is, again, if people were baptized as an infant or maybe even as a young teen, but then they live apart from God and they come back and they want to be rebaptized, we do have what's called the renewal of the baptismal covenant. We can give them an experience. We just don't rebaptize them again. But I wish I could say that I baptized the way I was taught in seminary, but I really wasn't taught in seminary. the first confirmation class I had in a previous church, I'd never done one before, and I really hadn't baptized that many people. And I remember... I mean, I soaked this one girl. It maybe part of it's my orneriness, but I just soaked her. And the next person I was baptizing was her cousin, and her cousin knew what was coming, and she could not quit laughing. It's like, I know this wave is about to hit me,
it's
and there's absolutely
hit.
Nothing I can do about it.
So awesome. Well, I really love what the emphasis that you put on. What happens in baptism is something that God does, because it's so important for us to remember that God is alive and at work. It is not just about us. You know, it is about what He is doing, and I think that's really special. So since we kind of tackled this idea of baptism, I want to tackle the other word in the phrase, because I think it's a word that people are much less familiar with than the word baptism. And so when we say that we are ordained through baptism, why don't you talk to us about that word?
I love this so much, and the easiest definition, easiest explanation of the word ordained is that it literally means set apart. When we ordain people for pastoral ministry, we're saying we're setting them apart. And one of the last podcasts, or I guess it was the first one of this series, we talked about the difference between minister and pastor. And we're all ministers, but in that group of ministers, there are people that are set aside. Mm-hmm. Again, they're not set above.
Right.
As pastors, we are not set above other people, mm-hmm. even though if you have to pray before a meeting, that's what they always say, you know, you're a professional.
Right.
And even though we're servants of the living God, mm-hmm. we're not set below people. We're servants, but we're not subservient.
Right.
We're set aside.
Yeah.
And that's what we believe this sign of the covenant does, yeah. is it sets us aside. Now, the question is, who does it set us aside from? Mm. Or maybe instead of set aside, it would be better to say set apart.
Yeah, set apart.
We believe, again, that sign of circumcision in the Old Testament, that sign of the covenant identified the Jewish people. They were set apart for God. Right. Early in the Olympic Games, back when they first started, athletes competed in the nude.
Mm,
and
mm-hmm.
you could always tell who the Jewish competitors were because they were set apart by their circumcision.
Right.
Baptism is that act that sets believers mm-hmm. apart from non-believers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, again, you can take that and say, oh, so baptism is about us identifying with God. Mm-hmm. Yes, in those circumstances, but that's what we do with the baby. We're saying this baby is set aside for God's holy work. Now, they may turn their back on that. They may walk away from that.
Right.
But what we're doing today is we're setting this baby aside for the mm-hmm. work of God. And as we grow and as we mature in our faith, we begin to understand there's just something a little bit different about us because of our faith in Christ.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't make us better than anyone mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make us worse than anybody else, but it does mean we're different.
But there's a difference.
And so to be ordained through baptism means if God has called me to ministry, it is through my baptism that God has set me apart mm-hmm. to do these works he's called for me to do.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great explanation of it. And it's really helpful, too. I think it's really important for us as we're claiming our identity, like who we are, to remember that what God does in us does make a difference.
Right.
There is a difference. And in this day and age, we celebrate certain differences, but then we don't want to celebrate other differences.
Right.
And I think it's really important for us as Christians to remember that the difference that God makes in us is something worth celebrating.
Absolutely.
And it's something worth identifying. And so here's the thing I want to do as like a tag on to that, because I would really like to get down into the nitty gritty of this.
You're going to ask me a question I'm not prepared for. I see it coming.
No, I have a feeling you could do this with your eyes closed and your hands tied behind your back. But I think that it's important for our listeners to know what difference does being ordained through baptism make in our everyday life? How does being ordained through baptism affect everyday living?
This, this is nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make that we're baptized? Okay, mm-hmm. we're set apart. What difference does it make that we're set apart? I want to suggest to you that this part of the motto is really the crucial mm-hmm. part of our identity in Christ.
Yeah.
That if I truly understand Christ has claimed me as mm-hmm. his own. He bought me with his own blood. He has filled me with his own spirit.
Yeah.
He has set me aside to do his work.
Mm-hmm.
If I wake up every morning with that realization, that affects everything that happens.
Everything.
You know, if my boss comes up and yells at me, you know, there is mm-hmm. that tendency that I'm just going to yell back.
Right.
But
I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, thank you. but what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ordained through baptism. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be different.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to Jesus, and he said, if someone strikes you on your mm-hmm. right cheek, turn to them the other cheek.
Yeah.
Also, when I get cut off in traffic,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I really understand I'm a minister,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, my family would tell you when I'm driving, I really don't understand. but how does that affect how I drive? I think it's just so important that we understand that God has set me apart. I love how when Luke writes about Jesus saying, you know, if you would be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily. And Luke's the only gospel writer that adds the word daily in there. And it's like, every day I get up and I give myself to Christ again.
Yeah, yeah.
When we're baptized, we believe that claiming faith in Christ is not something we do once and we're set for life.
Right.
We believe because we're baptized, every day I give myself to Christ.
Yeah.
And that means in the good days I give myself to Christ, in the hard days I give myself to Christ, in the busy days I give myself to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we can remember, baptism was not just an experience that becomes a mile marker on my journey of faith, but it is something that stays with me because it is the act of God claiming me as his own. And if I understand in every situation that God has claimed me as his own, that makes a difference in choices I make, attitudes I have, decisions I make.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, and I love too, when we look at Jesus being baptized and God comes down and descends, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove and rests upon Jesus, and then the people standing there heard the voice of God saying, "This is my son whom I loved, and with him I'm well pleased."
Yeah.
Again, it just goes to what you said about God claiming us.
Right.
And, you know, I know we're looking at this like it was Jesus. Of course he was well pleased. But that's kind of the same thing that God says to us as he claims us as his own. He doesn't look at us and say, "Well, this is my daughter who sometimes makes me happy and other times really frustrates me." You know, that's not what he's saying.
Right.
He's saying, "I claim you as my own. And I love you." And that changes everything.
Just hearing you say that, it's like, why have I never thought of this? That, God is claiming you as his own. If I wake up every day with that thought that God is claiming me as his own, then I'm going to live differently.
I would have to live differently.
I'm going to live differently. Yeah. And one of the things I think happens sometimes, you know, because we do baptize infants and we run into this and I get this is some people say, you know, that didn't mean anything to me.
Huh.
And that's one of the reasons whenever we baptize infants or even during confirmation, when we baptize people, I say, look, if your family wants to come up here and you want to video this and you want to take pictures, do this because this is a memorable
big deal
thing. But, so you don't hear as much as people usually. They might say, well, I don't know anything about it, but I saw the video.
Right.
And so, again, we oftentimes want that experience. And one of the ways that I think is helpful for my understanding, and so, again, I hope this is helpful for other people, is there is an event every October that I celebrate, and that is my birthday.
Oh, yes.
I do not have any memory that I was ever born.
Right.
I have evidence that I was born.
Right.
I've heard stories about what it was like when I was born, but I don't remember being born at all. I don't remember the doctor, the nurse. You know,
right.
I don't even remember my mama, and she had a very important role in all this.
Yes, she did.
And so sometimes, because we're baptized, it's like, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can still celebrate our baptism.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, again, confirmation is that way, a renewal of baptismal vows. Yeah. Typically, we didn't do it this year, but typically we do a whole service of worship based around the renewal of our baptismal covenant.
Yes.
Because it's helpful that when we have that covenant that every year we remember, this is what I pledged, or this is what was pledged in my name that I later claimed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I just think baptism is such an important part of our identity.
Man, I really do too. So as we kind of wrap this up, I'm interested to hear what you would have to say to those of our listeners who are listening and they're like, oh man, I haven't been baptized. What's up with my life?
My first thought is, what are you waiting for?
That's right, exactly. So tell us what you would tell them.
I think one of the things that we would run into is somebody would say, I want to be baptized, but I don't have my life all together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if baptism is a sign of your life, then get it all together and come be baptized.
Right,
but if it's a sign of God's faithfulness and God's activity, then
that's already set.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
You know, we would love to talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
If someone came to St. Andrews and wanted to be baptized because they hadn't been baptized, we always give them the option. How do you want this to happen?
Right.
Do you want us to sprinkle you, splash you, semi-drown you,
right,
you know, here at St. Andrews, or do you prefer to be immersed? And and they always know that if they want to be immersed, we'll make arrangements for that. You know, depending on the season, we have done them in swimming pools.
Yeah.
We've done them in other churches.
Yeah.
You know, people that want to be immersed, we're glad to do that. That's absolutely a part of our practice. But I would say if you haven't been baptized and you're thinking about it and you want to do it, if you're an older teen or adult, it really does become kind of a combination of those two competing views. It is you claiming the promise that God has claimed you as his own, but also your public profession of faith where you're saying, I identify myself with Christ.
Yeah.
And as pastors, we want to help that happen. We love that more than anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely true. And it really is one of those things in your life that that will be a changing moment. I mean, it really, God does an incredible work in that. So I hope if you have not been baptized that you will reach out. If you're somewhere around the world listening, then reach out to your pastor at your own church, or feel free to reach out to us because we would love to visit with you about that. Or if you're right here in Oklahoma City, we really would love to be a part of that part of your journey. So I think that's really exciting. Any other parting thoughts you have for us?
I just, you know, again, I hope people understand, A, if you haven't been baptized, that would be something they would seriously consider.
Yeah.
And B, if they have been baptized, that the fact that you are baptized continues to grow in your understanding. I think I actually saw a church marquee lately, and the sign outside was saying, you know, how are you living your baptism?
Oh, yeah. So good.
It's such a wonderful thing that God allows us to participate
in. It really is. And maybe you need to write yourself a note, friends, and to remind yourself of this, because I really do think baptism is one of those things that sometimes happens in our lives and then we think about it as being in the past and it not affecting us today. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with waking up every day and looking at a note on your mirror that says, I'm ordained through baptism.
Yeah.
I'm set apart. I am special. I'm claimed by God. And that should affect my every decision, my every word, my every thought. And yeah, so that's pretty good news.
That's
a pretty good word for us today. Friends, I'm so glad that you joined us. We love having you with us. If you have any thoughts or questions for us, I hope you'll reach out to us on our website at saokc.org. Our contact information is on there. We always love hearing from you. And we're excited about next week as we wrap up this series, so I hope you'll join us then. And make sure that if you don't have a church home, please find one. And if you are here nearby, we would love to see you here at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:15. Any Sunday morning, we would love to see you. And we do pray God's richest blessings upon you, and we'll see you next week.
We're so grateful that you joined us for today's podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. We're located at 2727 Southwest 119th Street in Oklahoma City. So if you live in South Oklahoma City, Moore, Norman, Newcastle, Blanchard, Tuttle, Mustang, any of the surrounding communities, we would love to have you join us for worship. Service times are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. We hope to see you soon.